This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back at the VSiN studios at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. This show rudely interrupting Kelly and me having a deep dive conversation on the 90s group Smash Mouth prior to coming on air.
That's right, man.
How did
That's
that
right.
come up?
I just saw it on the little news tease coming up, and we went down many different conversation paths with that one.
All Star and Walking on the Sun, they're big hits.
That's right,
but their lead singer, may he rest in peace, I believe. I don't think he's part of the group anymore.
And then that song was in Shrek, too, which made it like huge,
yes,
right? Yeah,
huge.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, glad we got that.
glad we got that figured out.
It is a Friday, but there is no Fezzik Fridays today. If you are a keen follower of this show, you know how much Steve Fezzik loves fireworks. I'm not making this up. He loves fireworks so much that he asked at the beginning of the week, he's like, wait a minute. July 4th, is this Saturday, right? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, I don't work July 4th week. So no Fezzik Fridays today. Steve is taking the week off, but we will talk about many other things to replace him. Chris Felica showing up, talk World Cup. He's talking World Cup today. He's talking World Cup tomorrow. He's talking World Cup Sunday. So a whole bunch of World Cup with Chris Felica. We'll talk about yesterday as well. Paul Carr, once he hears that Chris Felica is on, he's like, oh, that's not happening without me. He's on the show as well with his World Cup plays for today as well. Alex Noops Christensen will join us today to talk both NBA and Wimbledon. And then Tyler Shoemaker a little later on talking the W with us, WNBA with Tyler Vieson's own. We'll do all of that. I want to start, first of all, let me get the tennis play out of the way here real early because I don't want this to start here. Yesterday, so there's been a couple days at Wimbledon where we've had a lot of picks. Yesterday, there was a bunch of them. We had six picks. It was 4-2 day, hit a plus 103 dog, a plus 150 dog, a plus 155 dog, a plus 200 dog. For the second time during Wimbledon, instead of going 5-1 because we lost a third set tiebreaker, remember we gacked a third set tiebreaker a couple days ago. So yesterday put us back in the black at Wimbledon, or put us in the black for the first time at Wimbledon, made up for the nicks that we got the first couple days. It was a huge day yesterday. So again, when you hear people say, oh my God, they're terrible. Yeah, we lost like a unit a day. It's not that big of a deal. Yesterday made it all back and more. And today what I'm getting at is that some days the numbers say, oh, look, it's six plays. You should make six plays or four plays or five plays. Today there's only one. It's a very chalky day, and most of those numbers, in my opinion, are pretty accurate. But the one play that I did land on should begin here this hour at some point. Barbora Krejcikova, who is a Wimbledon champ from a couple years back, she is taking on Nicola Bartunkova. Both are Czech players. I've got Krejcikova minus three games, so a play on the spread. Krejcikova minus three games. That's the lone Wimbledon play today after a big day yesterday. Everything so far this morning, pretty according to form, not getting any upsets. I guess one upset on the men's side, I shouldn't say that. One upset on the men's side, João Fonseca not only loses, by the way, I think Zach had Safuyin plus 1.5 sets yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, as part of his parlay. Safuyin crushes Fonseca in straight 6-3, 6-3, 6-3. So that's the one sort of anomalous play this morning. Novak Djokovic in action right now. He's up a set and a break against Artur Rinderknecht, and Jannik Sinner on serve in the first set against Jensen Brooksby, Kelly. Jensen Brooksby.
That's
right.
That you lead me nicely into a quick golf update, too. At the John Deere Classic, we have three guys tied at 8-under. We did have a solo leader at 9-under. He just gave one back, and I wanted to bring it up Gil, because it is Zach Johnson that I am talking about that had taken the lead at the John Deere Classic. The 50-year-old who's teared it up on the Champions Tour for the most part this season, rolling into Silvis, Illinois, and playing a hell of a first two rounds here. So he has a share of the lead right now with Lucas Glover and Zach Blair, but he is the only one of those three that is currently out on the golf course.
Is that the first time you've ever said the words Zach Blair on this show ever?
Oh, man, probably. I saw Byron Lindekew hit a first-round leader bet on him yesterday, and I'm like, bomb odds. I'm like, same thing. I basically tweeted at him, like, how did you even get to that conclusion, to that bet, you know? Yeah, he had a top five and hit it outright, so good on you, Byron.
Good on Byron, yeah. Numbers game guest of the past. Okay, so tomorrow is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest at Coney Island, a tradition unlike any other. I want to shout out Mitch and Paul, who have been covering this event for as long as VSiN has pretty much been in existence, as long as they've been at VSiN. They've had Joey Chestnut on their show multiple times. This was never anything that I was particularly into, Kelly, admittedly, because I never really thought there was... You know, Chestnut was going to win every year. I never thought there was much of an angle in terms of the over-unders until this year, baby.
Yeah.
I think we have something. And a big shout out to JJ Bailey, who did a great deep dive on this over at the New York Times. So for those who are like, what are you talking about right now, man? Listen, if you can make money on it, you can make money on it. We're all about it. And Joey Chestnut, for those who... I've been trapped under a heavy object all these years. He's won 17 of these, 17, dating back to 2007. We're not going to be on air tomorrow, so this is why we wanted to talk about it this morning. His record in 10 minutes time was back in 2021. By the way, he also has 55 world records. Kelly, I'm not sure how you get the 55 different categories to get a world record, but he does have them.
Oh, pull up the list at some point. It's crazy because the foods are like, you know, it's pierogies and it's oysters and just it's insane.
Is this a talent? Do we refer to this as a talent?
You and I have had that conversation for years. I will always stand by, yes, it is, because I sure as hell could not come close to eating this amount of food. It's insane. No. It's wild.
You could eat more than I could, though, that's for sure. So in 10 minutes, 2021, he had a record 76. By the way, the cool kids call them HDBs. That's hot dogs and buns. HDBs. 76 of these, that's his record in 2021. Now, remember, 2024, he sat out because he had a sponsorship with a company that it was a no-no sponsorship, so they wouldn't let him compete that year.
It was like a vegan hot dog company or something, right? Nathan's was like, nah, nope.
That's right. Can't do it. So last year he comes back and he wins again, his 17th. He downs 70 and a half hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. So, by the way, the sponsorship deal was with Impossible Foods, Kelly, if you're scoring at home.
There you go.
A competitor of Nathan's. Okay. So he reclaims his title last year. He gets 70 and a half. He beats the second place guy, the defending champion, who was the champ because Chestnut wasn't there the previous year, Patrick Bertoletti, by 24 HDBs. Bertoletti only ate 46 and a half last year. And by the way, that mark not only obliterated, talking about the 70 and a half from Chestnut last year, it obliterated what Bertoletti did the year before, which was 58. And Chestnut, after he set the record in 2021 with 76 of these, in 2022, he went down to 63. In 2023, he went down to 62 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes time. So he bounced back up last year with the 70 and a half. So where does this get us to betting wise? His total was started at about 72 and a half. You're seeing about 70 and a half or 70 right about now. Here's the rub, and again, shout out J.J. Bailey over the New York Times. So tomorrow's expected to be 95 degrees. Now, Kelly, I didn't know temperature was a mitigating factor here, but apparently it is.
Oh, it's become a big topic over the past few years. And these eaters, including James Webb, who's third on the odds board, was just on By the Books with David Jensen talking about this too. And he said he was talking about it being a huge factor tomorrow, them having to eat through this.
Well, so it's supposed to be 95 degrees. The last time it was this hot during one of these was 2010. And in 2010, yes, Joey Chestnut won, but he only finished with 54 of these, the lowest among his 17 titles. Now he's 16 years older, has no real competition to push him. So 70 and a half or 70 still seems very high. I bet this a couple ways. One, rather than messing with Chestnut, because I have too much respect for his prowess here, I didn't go with his under straight. What I did is I combined him with Miki Sudo, who is the women's Joey Chestnut. She's almost as big of a favorite to win the women's side. Her total is right around 39 right now. It was higher before. I think it's still too high. She last year only had 33 of these that she was able to do in 10 minutes. Now it's 95 degrees. So I bet Chestnut and Sudo combined under 110, also added an under 110 and a half, and Sudo straight under 39 at minus 115. Those are my two 2026 Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Again, the only reason I care now, the only reason I'm jumping in for the first time is because of the temperature. Yeah. JJ Bailey, New York Times, shout out.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I love that you and I were both looking at this stuff and independently got to the same bet. I bet the under 110 and a half as well. I think it's a couple things, right? You had Chestnut coming back last year too, I think with some pressure of, hey, you were out a year, right? Like, you better show up and be the star again. So you wonder how much more kind of relaxed and not as much pressure is on him coming into this. But, you know, it's kind of funny you say that, because I did kind of more isolate the pseudo side too, where it's, look, yeah, she's had big time performances where she's hit 50 before, but I think you're gonna need something like that to push this over. And I don't with this heat, I don't know that we're gonna get there.
Yeah, not every out had these, but a couple of them did in my perusing this morning.
Yeah, I had one,
so I was able to get down. Yeah, I had two. I had a grand total of two that had them. Anyway, there it is. Breakdown 2026 Nathan's hot dog eating contest tomorrow at Coney Island. Looking forward to that on July the 4th. Coming back with the World Cup next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSIN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The Sharp Plays is in full effect mode, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. You could scan the QR code there on your screen for more. Sharpplays.com. Check them out. I always say it's the best listeners in the game here on A Numbers Game, and I mean that because y'all are hilarious. Y'all are witty. Y'all add to the show. That's the biggest thing of all, I think, in many cases. GV at New Jersey, New York, tweets in. He says, regarding the chip in the ball for Croatia-Portugal yesterday and how we don't have one in the NFL, didn't the NFL admit that there was a chip in the ball and it affected a touchdown call in a Ravens-Bengals playoff game like 4 years ago? You are correct. This was the 2023 AFC wildcard game between the Bengals and the Ravens, which the Bengals won. And if you remember, they won it 24-17. The biggest turnaround in that game, remember, is a 14-point swing because Ravens were on the Bengals goal line, and Tyler Huntley leapt over the goal line to try to score, and Logan Wilson, the Bengals linebacker, punched the ball out, and Sam Hubbard went 98 yards the other way for a touchdown for the Bengals. 14-point swing in a game the Bengals won by 7. And after the game, because fans were like, are you kidding me? Wasn't he over? The NFL said that NextGen Stats use the ball's embedded microchip data to confirm just how close Huntley got, revealing that the ball got as close as 0.6 yards. So, I mean, 0.6 yards, that doesn't sound like, that sounds like more than just I think it was 0.6 of centimeter or something like that. So it was super close, but yes, they used a chip to determine that. So thank you, New Jersey, New York, So there is some kind of bringing Chris Felico back into the show from Fox Sports at Chris Felico on Twitter, again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Do you remember that when they cited the chip?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can remember that play clearly because I can remember it being like, oh, of course, the Ravens were going to be live here as a dog to go to Cincinnati and win without Lamar. But of course, then that one play just completely flip-flopped everything. Yeah, I absolutely remember that. But I don't remember the league admitting that there was. I remember the play, but I don't remember the whole next-gen deal.
You know, when you're in the midst of the NFL playoffs, you're like so into every game. There's obviously multiple games, and then you're thinking about the next games the next week. So I can remember like on guessing lines that next Monday, bringing it up, but like never lingering on it afterwards. But yeah, that was sort of like out of left field. Like, wait, we do have a chip? I thought we didn't have a chip. Now we got a chip. Okay, tomorrow the round of 16 begins. So round of 32 ends today with the final three spots determined in the triple header today. Then it's to the round of 16, which become double headers. Tomorrow, we have a couple games, Canada, Morocco, Paraguay, and France. How are you treating Canada, Morocco?
The price here is a little interesting to me that Morocco are only minus 265 to advance. That tells me one of two things. Either the odds makers completely are way off on their opinion of Morocco, and it's a bad number, and Morocco is a great bet, or that it's low for a reason, and Canada are super live here. Now, remember, Morocco went out the other night and played that unbelievably physical match that went to kicks against the Dutch, and they won on penalties. So maybe it will take them a little bit of additional time to recover from that. I think first half draw. I think we can kind of like what we saw yesterday with the Portugal and Croatia. Both teams kind of come out, and if Morocco is a little sluggish early, we get to that. And then I think the better play there is probably Achraf Hakimi for Morocco over 2.5 shots. Best defender in the world, right back in the world. He loves to fire the ball, and taking the shot on goal part of it out of the equation, I think over 2.5 shots is really good for Hakimi. And then the other game, it's just square central. Whatever popular bet you want to make, Paraguay, France, this is not France will not go into this game the way Germany did and just kind of let Paraguay kind of hang around and get a goal before the half. France is an entirely different level. They could have had 6 against Sweden the other day. So whatever you want to bet, France to win 2-0. France over 1.5 in the first half. Like I said, I think they come out early and just kind of step on their throat and leave no doubt. And then Michael Olise, who leads the tournament in assists right now with 5, I think he's highly likely to get another one.
If Paraguay keeps that close, let's say they give France a sweat, does it immediately catapult you into this, man, Team USA might be so much better than we think we are kind of mindset?
No, it doesn't. It just leads me to believe that Paraguay just really hunkered down in a knockout round match and made things very difficult on France. I try to avoid the whole transitive property there of beat A, beat B. It's a totally different animal now that we're in the knockout rounds.
Right. Of course, Paraguay did that against Germany in the group stage, it should be noted too. So
yep.
winning on penalty kicks. Okay, to Sunday, another doubleheader, round of 16, Brazil against Kelly Bidlin's Norway team,
yeah.
and then England and Mexico, where the scene is going to be pandemonium.
Kelly's rowing there, right? And you getting going. Right. I don't mind both teams to score in Brazil, Norway, but what I do like, I think Vini Jr. has been really good in the tournament. I see this as an opportunity for him to maybe all the talk about Holland and Norway. I think Vinny Jr. reminds people of the caliber of player that he is. I like him anytime goal scorer, plus 130, and then I like the 2+ goals/assists at 4-1 on that. So I think he gets a goal and maybe either gets another goal or contributes on an assist. So Norway did get through. They did beat Ivory Coast. They got the goal late. Very fortunate to do so. Brazil should advance. But both teams to score, I don't mind that either. But I think Vinny Jr. has a big one. And then the match that we all are waiting for, the one that everybody kind of pointed out, and we pointed out on the show beforehand, how England, if everything played to form, we were going to get a round of 16 match at Azteca against Mexico, and that's what we got. It's going to be potentially an all-time World Cup scene. I believe Mexico, in their history at Azteca, have lost twice in competitive matches. They get something like 79 wins, 17 draws, and two losses, or something along those. It's a ridiculous record. So England's already kind of sandbagging the whole match. We can't get acclimated to the elevation. We don't have optimum time to come in there. And so Mexico's yet to concede in the tournament so far. I will say that England showed a good bit of resolve against, a good bit of guts against Congo coming back. They were down 1-0, and it looked like for a long time that they were not going to score and get the equalizer. They did. I think we all want to see this match go to extra time, and I think there's a really good chance that it will. So draw plus 215 is on the table. Julian Quiñones for Mexico, over 2.5 shots is another individual player prop that I like there. And I'm gonna go flip the script here. And bet England to win in penalties at plus 750. We all know England's history in major competitions, in matches decided on penalties, and how it is not good. But if this does get to kicks, England have a great keeper in Jordan Pickford. They've got great penalty taker in Harry Kane, and they got some other guys too who can step up to the spot and make kicks. So plus 750 on a possible situation where the match very easily could go to kicks, and then you get 7.5 to 1 on England to win. I'll take a little bit of a flyer on that, but yeah, this has draw written all over it.
Wow, I like that. Okay, before you go, we have a minute left here. Golden Boot, keeping in mind that Lionel Messi has a game to play today, so he can add to this. But right now, it's Messi at 6, Kylian Mbappe at 6 goals scored. Then it's Erling Haaland and Harry Kane, the aforementioned, both at 5 goals. And then there's actually 4 tied at 4, but one of them plays for Senegal, so he's done. But it's Ousmane Dembele at 4. It's Mikel Oyarzabal, our pre-flop play, at 4. And Vinicius Jr. of Brazil at 4. Any thoughts on this? Your instinct?
It's messy for me just because the path that they have and the teams that they're going to play opposite them. You look at Mbappe and Dembele and the French. You've got the match against Paraguay, sure, but then you're probably going to have to play Morocco, and then you're going to have to play either Spain or Portugal in the semi, and those will not be high-scoring games. So while I'm sure he is favorite or co-favorite, I do think Messi would be the bet for me there.
Yeah, Messi plus 120, Mbappe plus 140.
Thank you, Kelly. Messi with a game to play today to add to that list. World Cup, just been awesome. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it very much.
Chris, you got it. Have a great 4th of July weekend, everybody.
I don't know a single person who's not wrapped up in this World Cup. We'll come back. Paul Carr will join us. But before that, some baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3, count them, 3 Circus Sports contests. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake whatsoever. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And of course, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers. $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details. It's amazing, man. Spectacular.
Yeah, over 2,200 already signed up for Survivor.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's ahead of pace, right?
I think so. It feels like a lot this early.
We get tweets beating the book. Ray in Texas, very pumped about your parlay, by the way, Kelly. Oh, LFG, he says.
Forgot to tell you this off the air, Gil, but you know, the conversations you and I have of, I don't think I got a single tweet asking me to repeat any golf bets this week. I got about five tweets asking me to repeat that parlay, though.
Isn't it amazing?
It's wild.
It's amazing. Tycoon Sports on Twitter. Thanlog is the best. Everyone loves crustacean, but few know this spot is better. The jumbo prawns on top of garlic noodles with a full crab on the side. Heaven on earth. Mm. It is absolutely heaven on earth. Scrabble Star. Gil, I've had my fill, parentheses, exclamation point, of Nathan's dog contest over the years. The show I'm waiting for is the one that follows the contestants for a few hours after the competition. Viewer discretion advised. I'm only 30 minutes in today via the Sirius app.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
No, I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to know what happens for 2 days after that contest.
Kenny Dillingham Sexual. He says, it's Groundhog Day on a numbers game. Gil and Kelly fading the Steelers. See you in the playoffs again, fellas. I should not get coupled with Kelly for this. Kelly is a perennial fader. I am not a perennial.
I didn't do it last year. I don't believe I had any negative Steelers bets last season. But like the five seasons before that, I did.
Oh, and Golden Horseshoe lets us know. He said Phil Mickelson won the 2021 PGA and senior events the same year.
So
that was
the one that we were trying. Chris and I were trying to figure out. Okay, good to know.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, World Cup once again today. The final round of 32 triple header, and that begins because remember these times are all staggered from day to day. Today's triple header begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, which gives us time to talk to Paul Carr about the triple header today. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the Emperor of True Media Networks, Paul Carr. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. I have a story that you've sort of inspired here, Gil, with my daughter.
Oh, thank you. Story time.
So she's not a huge sports fan, but she'll still watch some soccer. She likes the pageantry, all this stuff. And her favorite thing is penalty kicks. So I've got her to the point where, hey, what are you hoping to happen in this game? Who are you rooting for? And because she wants penalty kicks, she wants nothing to happen and the game to stay a draw. So I have trained her to say, I'm rooting against human achievement.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is so great.
She was leaving the house this morning, yeah, going with a grandma, something, asking, are you going to watch Egypt, Australia? And she said, I'm rooting against human achievement in that one. Well, that's great.
Making an impact on the youth of today.
That's right.
That's all I can ask for. Oh, our work is done here. That actually makes my day, Paul. Thank you for that story. Okay, before we get to your plays, I'll ask you the same thing that we sort of talked with Felica about earlier, our buddy Chris Felica, which is Portugal, Croatia yesterday. First Ronaldo offsides on what could have been the equalizer by, you know, part of his body. And then obviously Portugal up 2-1. First of all, I think the penalty was correct in the box. I think you have to call that.
Yeah.
But then Portugal up 2-1, the offside determined by a chip grazing. So the chip comes into play. If we don't have that chip, you agree with me that it probably stands?
I didn't see anything on the replay that clearly indicated that the Croatia guy touched the ball. Maybe, but like the spin didn't seem to change, anything like that. So I think it would have stood were it not for the chip.
Yeah. And do you love that offsides is being called this way? Do you as a soccer hardo hate this? Where do you stand?
Generally, I'm for it. I mean, because offside is kind of a black and white thing. It's different than like the penalty on Balogun for the U.S., where there is obviously a lot of gray area. Offside is, I mean, you're offside or you're not. And all the technology is doing is just revealing the margins that were already there. So offside with the technology, the chip, the lines, all that doesn't bother me much.
Okay. So three games today, Australia, Egypt, Argentina, Cape Verde, Colombia, Ghana to determine the final three spots in the round of 16. You're not touching these with bets?
I did come around to one. The under in Colombia, Ghana has moved quite a bit. It was around -150, -160. Now it's -135, -125. I like it in that range because Ghana is just going to muck this one up. That's what they've done the whole tournament, just real strong defense. And Colombia, while they're a really good team, they're not necessarily a we're going to hang five on you type of team. So I think Colombia wins this, but 1-0, 2-0 seems right in the wheelhouse. So now that it's minus 135, or I've seen minus 125s out this morning, which I played, I do like that in Colombia, Ghana.
Tell your daughter we are really betting on you know, going against human achievement in that one.
That's right. She'll love it.
All right. Tomorrow, though, you do like a play in our first of the round of 16 doubleheaders. What do you got?
Yeah, we'll start Morocco, Canada. And this is my classic. Take the better team, for goodness sake, here. Minus 120 for a Morocco win or so. And Morocco is way better than Canada. I know Canada, you know, they blitzed Qatar, but that was a nine-man team they were playing. They got by South Africa. That was pretty close. Morocco really dominated. Dominated might be a little strong, but they outplayed Netherlands for sure. And this is a good Morocco team. This is different than they were 4 years ago, where they were kind of the classic underdog. Now they're used to being the favorite. They have better players, better strategy. So they're very comfortable with the ball, which they'll have a lot of against Canada. And Canada is just, you know, battling a lot of injuries. They're not a high-powered team. So just take Morocco to win this one in the 90 minutes is my play here. I got it at minus 125, I think. Might be a little better number out there.
What was Felica's comments when Morocco was winning in penalty kicks? He was like, can these two teams just play again instead of Morocco having to play Canada?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Give me a best of three Morocco-Netherlands rather than Canada and South Africa, one of those getting through.
All right. And then Sunday, you got a couple plays, including Norway-Brazil. Let's start there.
And can I just say first, like, this slate on Sunday is, this is the World Cup. You got Norway-Brazil, which is, you know, to boil it down, like Erling Haaland against Brazil, and you've got Mexico-England, which is probably the number one game I wanted to see this whole tournament. But I'll start with Norway-Brazil. Yeah, I've been fading Brazil, and it hasn't worked super well, but they did really struggle against Japan. Norway is a little better than Japan. And I still think that Brazil midfield is, we saw it give them a lot of trouble. That's how Japan got their first goal, going right through that. Norway can do the same thing. Obviously, they have Erling Haaland, who has played these Brazilian center backs who are pretty good. Really good. He's played them a lot and scored against them a lot. So that's not going to intimidate him. So I like Norway on the double chance. I got it at minus 110, I believe. So win or draw, get to the 90 minutes. I think Norway does. There's an outside chance Brazil's starting to figure things out and will start rolling, but I haven't totally seen it yet. And until I do, I will probably keep fading them.
Let's go.
All right, and then
fire it up. I played both teams to score, yes, because Erling Haaland's going to score.
I like it. Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Paul, if Norway plays the United States in the World Cup final, Kelly's allegiance is very much up for grabs.
Yeah, it is. You don't know what's happening. It is.
I hope we run into that problem. That would be amazing.
I hope we do, too. By the way, I love the Paul Carr analogy, again, extended for the Team USA. We have parred this tournament. It is, what did you say, on the green on a par 5-2 currently. Okay.
Right. Yeah, so if we do par and go out in the round of 16, it's going to be a little bit disappointing given all the hype and how well they played. So yeah, it'd be a three putt from, I don't know, 20 feet or something like that. So yeah,
we got an eagle look though. That's what it sounds like. I know
they got a shot. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Mexico and England. You said it's the one you're most looking forward to. Can you describe why that is? Can you articulate that for us?
Sure. Yes. I mean, the first thing is just the history, because 1986 World Cup, England played at this same stadium, Estadio Azteca, against Argentina in the quarterfinals. And this is when Diego Maradona scored two of the most iconic goals in soccer history. The hand of God, where he punched the ball into the net and it wasn't called. And the goal of the century, where he dribbled around pretty much the whole England team from midfield and scored. So it's one of, again, two of the two most famous goals, whatever, in soccer history were in the same game. So England has all those ghosts that just hang over them, kind of like the smog at Estadio Azteca does. And you've just got England coming into this game from a soccer standpoint. They're going to elevation. They're going to smog. They're going to this cauldron that they have to play in that they don't have to do in Europe. I assume Mexico fans were just surrounding the hotel, honking whatever they could honk all night or will be before the game. They're going to have to deal with that. And this is an England team that has kind of struggled to break down good defenses. Mexico's defense has been pretty solid. I mean, you saw the way the fans got behind them against Ecuador, and that was just tremendous to watch. So this is going to be fabulous theater. I like the draw here. England is a better team. Mexico is at home. England's going to be dealing with the elements. I could definitely see this game just dying in the last 15 or 20 minutes when England is gassed and just trying to hang on and get to extra time. So I like the draw here. I bet you're on board with this at plus 215.
I'm on it. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy. Happy 4th.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July of 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. That's 24 months, but don't wait. The special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Kelly Billen back there in Vegas. We, you know, Kelly and I are pretty open with what we're talking about off air. And we started the show by talking about the association that we make between Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray,
yep,
two 90s bands. Xavier 82 commenting on Noops being on the show earlier when he brought up Steal My Sunshine by Len. He says, it's crazy y'all bring up Steal My Sunshine because I just had my 25th high school reunion last Saturday and we did a music trivia thing during it. And one of my few contributions was naming Len as the artist for that banger of a song. And then Noops chimes in and says, my only regret today is that I failed to mention this 90s one hit wonder banger. Yes. And the crew knows that I love this song and also refer to it as a banger. New Radicals, You Get What You Give.
I forgot.
Love
you,
that
I
song.
I forgot like 9 months ago, you wouldn't shut up about this song for like 3 days. It was stuck in my head for a week. Right. I'm going to, you know what? I'm still going Len, Steal My Sunshine. I'm going to power rank these real quick, Gil, for songs. Okay. Steal My Sunshine still on top. Then the New Radicals. Okay. And then I don't know the rest. I don't know who's third. But those are the top two.
I'm going to go New Radicals 1, Steal My Sunshine 2. Okay. But yes, Kelly just, by the way, Kelly described that perfectly. He wouldn't shut up about it for 3 days. And Rules for Society. Yo, are your hot dog picks going to be on the website? Yes, I think. Right, Kelly? Yes.
That's maybe a great question. I don't know if the website is designed to enter hot dog picks. I think it is, though. I think they should be up there. Yeah. Danny's going to confirm.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest, we always love having him on. We never have him on in studio, so we are treated to him. He either is being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame later today, or he was alongside Howard Cosell as a Monday Night Football broadcaster at ABC in the 70s and 80s, wearing his beautiful yellow blazer. It's Tyler Shoemaker. Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was just telling Kelly, I busted out a new blazer for you guys today. I know you guys like the style, so I busted a new one out for you today.
I feel honored, Gil. We've had Tyler on a lot of shows. I don't remember ever seeing the yellow, and he confirmed it. It's brand new, brand spanking new.
Tyler's here to talk WNBA with us. He is the creator of the T-Shoe Index, which, by the way, is also his Twitter handle. Can you, before we even get into your thoughts about the WNBA, can you just, for those who are landing on the league right now and casually are like taking in Caitlin Clark information, can we just do a little bit of sports talk radio here? And can you tell us what's the story here with Caitlin Clark with the Indiana Fever? Where do you stand on her as a player? What's just the general sort of thumbnail about her in her career right now as you see it?
Yeah, I think it's extremely interesting and a little concerning that the both the Fever and the league as a whole kind of don't do more to push her as the Michael Jordan of the league. I don't think she's the best player in the league. I think that's very clearly Asia Wilson. But I think as far as marketability and getting eyeballs, I mean, the numbers don't lie. All of the ratings, all of the top ratings are generally Fever games because of Caitlin Clark. But yet you'll see her, you know, missing from marketing pieces and graphics, and it's bizarre. So I think long term, I will be surprised if she finishes her career in Indiana.
Wow. Right now, the Fever 11-8. just a half game outside of the Liberty and Dream in the Eastern Conference, top of the Eastern Conference standings right now here in the WNBA season. Lynx, by the way, and Aces, the best two teams in the WNBA. Both of those are in the West, 15-4 and 14-5, respectively. What is your pecking order, Tyler, in terms of your power rankings of teams right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we've got clearly, I think there's a clear top three, and that's the Liberty, the Lynx, and the Aces. I think the Dream are a half step behind there. I think the Dream are a really good team, but I think if I had to take one of the Aces, Liberty, or Lynx versus the field, I'm definitely taking those three to win the championship.
And when it comes to the Aces specifically, so we saw this with them last year. They went on this terrible run. They were kind of left for dead. And then, well, not really a terrible run. It was just a bad sort of first half of the season. And then they went on this unbelievable run. And then that coasted it. And that sort of, you know, sort of transferred into the playoffs. They end up winning the championship again. Is that where we kind of are with the Aces now, where like nothing in the regular season really matters ultimately, and that you can still count on them come postseason?
I think so. I talk about this a lot in all sports, championship fatigue. And when you have teams, you think back to like the Golden State Warriors of the 2015, 2016 era, those type of teams like the Aces, I think after you've had to climb the mountaintop so many times, like I think you just get tired and bored with the regular season, and understandably so. I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how well they've played in the regular season so far this year compared to last year. Because like you said, last year, people were kind of ringing some panic alarms about them. But this year, they've been very good. And the numbers show that against playoff teams, their game grades, their power rating is even higher. So they turn it on when they have to. So I definitely trust the Aces down the stretch.
Liberty beat them the other night by 8, but they didn't have Asia Wilson. Do they have Asia Wilson tonight against the Sky?
She's officially questionable tonight, but the market move tells me that she's probably not going to play tonight.
All right. How are you playing this?
I back the Aces still. Even with the assumption that she's not going to play, I make the game Aces minus 15 with her. I would make it about minus 10 without her. I bet it this morning here at Circa at 7.5. I think it's dropped even more than that. I'm probably going to go add another unit on it here at whatever the line is now. I think it was down to maybe 6.5 last time I checked. So I'm probably going to add another unit on there, because I think the Chicago Sky road numbers are horrific. They've been playing better lately in general, but they've also had a lot of home games. I think on the road, I think the Aces are going to win comfortably tonight.
See a couple sevens out there currently. I don't see any 6.5s. We're still 7.5 here at Circa, but it's 105, so a little bit cheaper on that.
Yep.
Tyler, have you gotten to the point where you enjoy betting the W more than you do your other sports like college football? Is it on par with those?
I do like it. I think for me, one, definitely compared to like the NBA, for instance, where like load management is such a thing, and you don't know who's ever gonna play even when they're healthy. I think that makes the NBA unattractive to me as a bettor. In terms of like college football, I think there's so many more games in college football compared to the WNBA. I like that with the WNBA schedule, you know, I've only got to really look at 2 to 4 games really on any given day. And that, I think that allows me to really dive deeper on those games and have a better, have more conviction with the bets that I make.
Is there any bet right now to win the title? Any number that you like? Value-wise, is there any MVP bet that you like at this point?
No, I mean, we've talked about this before. You guys know I'm not huge on futures. I know you guys are. So that's not a market I check on daily. You know, I'll take a peek periodically, but right now there's nothing that jumped off the board to me. I was talking with Stormy and JVT yesterday about the six player of the year, which is kind of an interesting race in the WNBA, because at one point it looked like Kennedy Carter was a lock for that, and then she kind of got in the doghouse with Becky Hammond, perhaps. We don't know what the deal is there. She's kind of had a short leash there, so I don't think I would bet on Kennedy Carter at this point. I'll be curious. I don't think Satu Sabally is listed currently, but the Liberty have moved her to the bench, and she's been playing phenomenal since they did that. So I'll be curious if she, I don't know what the qualifications are for six player of the year, but that's a name that I would keep my eye on if she enters the market.
Satu Sabally. Okay. That's interesting. I love how you're like, I don't really pay attention to the futures markets like you guys do. But here's a six man, here's a six player of the year award that might actually be awesome value. Okay, we'll file that away. What, by the way, why are you in town? Maybe I should ask you, are you just chilling? Or are you doing something sports betting wise? What's going on?
Yeah, just a little 4th of July vacation. My brother flew out here and met me. So we're staying here at Circa for the weekend and just going to have a good time. We're going to the Aces game tonight. Going to the Aces game Sunday night against the Fever, which Caitlin Clark has already been ruled out for that game. So that's disappointing. But I think Asia's going to play Sunday from what it seems like. So excited for that nonetheless.
That's awesome. Okay, and so we end where we began. So Caitlin Clark, you don't think she's ending her career in Indiana. You think that's an off-season thing this year, as soon as early as that? Or you think later?
I think probably later. I would be surprised if they made a move. Now, if she decided to demand a trade this offseason, I wouldn't blame her one bit. I don't know that that's her personality, though. I would be surprised. I think she'll stick it out. I mean, they do have a nice trio there with Boston and Mitchell. So I think if they could just lean into her a little bit more, I think it could be fine. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Tyler, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Tyler Shoemaker, everybody, at T Shoe Index on Twitter. Writes on the website all the time at VSiN.com. Coming back on